Welcome, everybody, to the Appalog Podcast. I am presently in PEI camping, and I brought all my gear out to actually do this intro, and I forgot one cable. And it's a crucial cable, the one cable that attaches the thing that records the microphones into the computer. It's bad. Anyways, this podcast is brought to you by Bose All Natural Brewing Company. Try out their Lug Tread. It's crisp, balanced, and refreshing. Lug Tread is a lagered ale. It's a term they coined. It's fermented like an ale and cold-aged like a lager. It's been Bose's flagship brand since they opened in 2006. As of 2017, it's now available in 355-milliliter cans for the first time, and it's won more than 20 awards. Their other beer they got that they've sent me over, which is delicious as well, is Full-Time IPA. It's hoppy, fruity, and bold. It's their newest brand, Full-Time brand, which is how they got the name. Tasting notes for IPA. It pours hazy deep gold with a dense white foam, aromas of citrus and tropical fruit, and pine. A balanced bitterness that underpins the flavor. This medium body ale finishes dry with a lingering hop and fruit notes. Pick up Bose anywhere that beer is sold nationwide in Canada. Sorry, Americans. Sorry, rest of the world. Search out Bose All Natural. Hey, Amazon shoppers. Do you like to shop on Amazon? Do you want to support the show? Go to appalog.ca/Amazon or appalog.ca/US Amazon. A B. There's a B. Go to appalog.ca/Amazon or appalog.ca/US Amazon. And if you go there, you'll be redirected to Amazon. You'll be able to shop and support the show without even knowing it. And it's a good cause, and it's a good thing to do. Thank you so much to all the people that actually do that. If you want to do the old-fashioned way, you can go to appalog.ca and click on those links on the right side and support the show that way. Bookmark the links, same thing. Every time you shop on Amazon, supports the show, costs no extra money. If you're interested in supporting the show on a monthly basis, go to patreon.com/appalog. You can pledge as much or as little as you want on a monthly basis to help with hosting and gas fees. Cancel at any time. Go to appalog.ca/shop to buy a t-shirt and buy some music. Buy the Foursquare discography there for $20. 70 songs for $20. And then iTunes, don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review the show. Give it some stars. You can like the show on Facebook by going to facebook.com/appalogpod. And follow me on Twitter at simonhead666. Now, today on the show is Tyler Wilkinson. Tyler Wilkinson is a third of the band called The Wilkinsons. The Wilkinsons were a band that got a lot of success in the early 2000s. And Tyler and Amanda started the Small Town Pistols, a band I was involved with for almost 4 years. And they are now together again doing acoustic shows all across Canada. So everybody, here he is, Tyler Wilkinson, talking about music on a drive. Actually, he's driving back from Nashville, and I'm at my house. And just so you're not confused, that's ocean back there. You can hear ocean. I'm on the ocean. This is what the Gulf of St. Lawrence sounds like. So hey, everybody, here he is, Tyler Wilkinson, on the Appalog Podcast. How many songs you write?
12.
From start to finish with words?
Okay, listen. I can say 11 and a half because we only half finished one song.
Okay. That's still
it's not that. It's not as...
it's pretty good. It's two songs a day.
It's impressive any more than it's 11 and a half, right?
Yeah.
12 just sounded so good.
Wow. Are they all hits? What's going on?
I don't think any of them suck.
What's what kind of genre? Like all sorts, or
mainly in the kind of country realm. But I mean, there's a couple songs in there that are like R&B stuff,
mm-hmm.
And like there's one that's like pretty R&B. There's a couple that can go with either way.
Right.
So those are nice, fun ones, right?
Yeah. Who are you writing with?
You'd wrote with a bunch of people. Mainly with one guy. His name's Jason Duke. And he was bringing Donnie and I, you know, my friend Donnie Anderson.
Yeah.
Who's like wicked singer. bringing Donnie and I in on rights with him, with other co-writers in Nashville. So we were with a guy named Chris Yurchuk, another guy named Casey Timmer, guy named Jimmy Thau from Vancouver, Ben Johnson. And then we wrote with a couple other people that we are just, you know, good buddies with down here, a guy named Rio, and another guy named Lenny Pay. It's like, cool, man. We came up with like so much, like it's pretty diverse,
right?
Pretty diverse stuff. You know, everything from like straight up R&B, you know, pop stuff to like super, super country, Florida Georgia Line to John Mayer.
Is Nashville the only place to do stuff like that?
I think Nashville's the only place where you can do it consistently. And you can do it every single week and every single day. And my description of Nashville, especially as far as a songwriting goes, and I think we've talked about this before, mm-hmm. it's the fact that, like, I feel like in Toronto or any of the other, you know, outside of Nashville, New York, you know,
mm-hmm.
if I had a writing appointment set up today and the person gets sick and has to cancel on me, most days in Toronto, it's like, well, it looks like I'm not writing today unless I want to write on my own.
Yeah.
Nashville, somebody cancels on you, you're like, you just pick up your phone and literally call 15 people and you've got to co-write usually within 20 minutes to 30 minutes. Somebody's like, okay, yeah, sure. Well, let's get together.
Yeah.
Like this week is a perfect example. We had pretty much our whole entire week filled up with double writes and triple writes. So that's like three different writing sessions a day or two different writing sessions a day. And the one day we literally only had one write that was in the afternoon. And the day before, we were like, we still haven't found anybody to fill that Thursday spot. And within less than an hour, we had filled it. And I think that's what makes Nashville such a crazy place to go and write and be creative, because of it's readily available. And it's just like this weird stew pot of, you know, creativity that's constantly going.
Yeah, I guess like LA and like New York City and even Toronto is just too big. It's big, right? Like it's too big. Like New York's too big to like have one of these little things. Like Nashville, by comparison, is smaller, right? But somehow everybody from music goes there and they manage to create because the actual city's smaller. Is that true or?
You know what? The city is smaller, but I feel like it might even be that the musical community is tighter.
Okay.
You know what I mean? Like maybe in Toronto, have like little of musical pockets, right? You might have your R&B guys that kind of hang together, and you got your country guys that hang together, and your rock guys that hang together, and it's not like they're all part of the Toronto music industry as a whole. It's like they just have these little tiny pockets, whereas you got people in, you know, Nashville that write for, you know, more pop stuff that are still writing with the country people, and you got people who write in the more, and maybe the Christian rock world that are still writing with the country people, and the R&B world that are writing with country people, and the country people are writing with all of those other people, and it's like the whole entire community as a whole, as far as music goes, they all mesh together.
Yeah, that makes sense.
It's interesting. It makes it for such an amazing experience when you're down there writing. That's for sure.
Yeah. Is there any is there a heavy metal sect where it's like all dudes with like long hair like all hang out in like one club and then go write heavy metal songs? Or
you know what? I have no clue. I mean, maybe it's because I'm just not into heavy metal. I guarantee there's some form of heavy metal community in Nashville. Now they out there rubbing elbows and writing songs with the country guys, but yeah. Who knows, maybe they are.
Yeah.
I haven't ran across it yet.
Yeah. Oh man. Like I've never, I drove through Nashville. I've never been to Nashville, really. Like, it's funny because all the years of touring, I never had a show in Nashville. So maybe it's the bands I was hanging with. They're all too punk rock or something. But I think
Sum 41 never played Nashville?
Never played. Well, not with me. Not that I remember.
With you. Wow. That's crazy.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's it's an interesting thing. But, you know, it's 10 hours from here. What is it? What is it to drive from Toronto? 12, 10?
About just over 12 hours.
Yeah. It's still close enough, right?
Yeah. Yeah. It's like a half a day's drive. If you get up, to go to leave to drive to Nashville. If you get up at like 9 in the morning and go to leave and come down there, you know, with gas stops and lunch stops and whatnot, you'll probably be there at like 9:30 in Nashville time. And you gain an hour. It kind of sucks coming home because you lose an hour, but
yeah.
The drive isn't that bad.
No. At least it's all highways, and everything's faster now. Like I noticed that the speed limits are faster than they were 10 years ago, and the roads seem safer for some reason.
A few spots on the drive where you're like, oh, this is so boring. Mm-hmm. There's like one or two, one in Ontario, one in Ohio, and everything else is like it's pretty nice drive.
Yeah. Yeah, so you've been going down there, like, God, your whole life, right? Like, you lived down there with Wilkinson's and your family band, and, like, you have a close relationship with Nashville, right?
Yeah, I mean, I love Nashville. It definitely feels like a second home to me.
So, this Wilkinson's tour, ma'am. This is pretty interesting stuff. It's a true testament, you know, that you guys as musicians and as a band, that people, there's still a thing, right? There's still people want to hear it. This is cool stuff.
Yeah, man, it's really, really exciting. We're just excited to go and play and sing as a trio again. And you know, you got to see a glimpse of it when we were out doing Small Town Pistol stuff, and you'd see Dad come on stage and do 26 Cents, or maybe even Jimmy's Got a Girlfriend. We did rehearsal like a week and a half ago, and it was like, man, it just felt good. I mean, like, singing the three of them. And I'm not sure if you know, like, kind of how this tour came about. We, last year, were asked to come play a show in Winnipeg in January of this year, and we hadn't played a show in a while, and the guy Justin Daniluk, who wanted us to come out and play the show in Winnipeg, big fan of the Wilkinsons, and he was, you know, basically it was the first time he'd ever brought live music to a theater that he just owned and renovated and took over, and so he wanted the Wilkinsons to be the first band to ever come through and play. So we thought, well, that's kind of a pretty special experience. Let's go and do it. So we went out there and we played, and the house was sold out, and it was a great show. You know, just felt like we hadn't ever not toured over the last 6 years. And so we came home kind of being like, that was great. You know, that was one show that we went out and played. And Justin actually calls Dad like the next week, and he says, man, I think we can really try and do just a small run of shows, maybe a weekend and a half, and smaller towns, and actually, you know, make, you know, what we did in Winnipeg happen again in all these other places. Mm-hmm. Smaller, intimate shows, acoustic. And you're like, well, just kind of get some details together and let us know what you got. And he did, and came back, and we were like, you know, this could be really, really, really fun and a different experience for us. And how we started playing music was, you know, three of us and a guitar, and now it's the three of us and a couple of guitars, and playing for these audiences where we actually get to take the time to, like, listen and talk with the audience and tell stories about the songs, and not be, you know how it is when there's a full band on stage, you know, if you talk too much before a song, they're all sitting back. They're going like, oh my God, when's my cue? What, where, you know?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And when are we jumping in? And when you play an acoustic show like this, you want to spend, you know, 10 minutes talking about 26 cents. You can do that if you want.
Yeah.
Or if the audience wants to yell something up, if you have some, you know, a question from the audience, you know, if they want to yell a request or something like that, these shows allow that. They have a much more intimate and personal feel.
Yeah, for sure. And with the three of you there, you guys are also, because not just that you've played in a band for so long, but your family, and family kind of can dig how each other thinks, and therefore the show can move along in a direction that is sort of pleasurable to all three people. And then subsequently the crowd, because you guys are putting on a show, and it's like what you just said, it's not just about the music, it's about the story behind it and the story behind your group, because it's a one in a million thing, you know, and not just any band, but a family band that actually gets to tour and have success and nominations and Grammy nominations and tons of success. And that is something that, I don't know, it's a fire in the bottle, right?
It's, you know, our story is so unique, I guess, how everything happened when we got our record deal and everything. I actually, part of the reason why I came down to Nashville this week was there was a group of students from Ottawa at a private musical school that a friend of mine, Debbie Zavidson, is partnered up with a girl named Tara, who is part of an organization in Ottawa that basically just tries to help people, you know, become more engaged in the music industry. And Tara was realizing that it was becoming a pattern for people coming down to Nashville, that they would go, oh, I want to go to Nashville. I want to go see the things in Nashville, or I want to go down and write Nashville. But they'd get to Nashville and they wouldn't realize, you know, I have no connections here. What do I do? Like, how do I get in the room with people? So she and Debbie partnered up, and, you know, they're bringing down, most times they're bringing down list songwriters and people who are older in age and are definitely wanting to take an honest shot at it. But this time she partnered up with a private music school in Ottawa. And so part of the reason why I came down was so I could sit.
You cut out there a bit.
Kind of guide them to what is maybe some, you know, proper verse structure, proper chorus structure. And it was a blast. I mean, it was definitely something I've never done before. But I had to sit and kind of tell all, you know, about 10 of these kids my whole entire story as Wilkinson. And retelling that story to these kids was like, kind of like I sat back and I was like, wow, like I was their age when all this stuff started happening. So it's so crazy that I'm sitting here telling these kids a story about how, you know, three people from Trenton, Ontario came to Nashville with next to nothing, and 3 weeks later were, you know, signed a record deal. I guess it's good for them, you know, like, yeah. That's telling the story felt really good, because I was like, it's good for these kids to realize that, you know what, if anybody tells you it can't happen, that's wrong. It can happen.
Yeah, and it's also the victory of it all, too. It's not just the fact that maybe they're not going to, is that it did happen, and it something like that did happen. And you're living testament proof that it is possible. And whether it fills them with hope or not, it's the fact that the fact is that it happened. You know, it's almost like finding life on other planets. You know what I mean? Like, it's possible. You know what I mean? Like,
are you calling us aliens?
You're the aliensons.
The aliensons.
Yeah. No, it's very cool that you, you know, and y'all came out of it, and I think we've talked about it before. You came out of this, and a lot of people come out of the industry at the back end of it, more towards the end of it, going, I don't like it anymore. I've seen too much bad stuff in the world. You become jaded, you know, and you guys have never felt, I've never felt that form of like, oh, you know, like this old thing, you know.
I think any frustrations, of course we all have frustrations with the music industry and we can feel a little bit jaded about things, but I mean, at the end of the day, performing the feeling you get from performing and the joy you get from doing that type of stuff, it definitely just, I think it just washes that away.
Mm-hmm.
Makes it a little bit easier.
Yeah, because the industry's changed a lot for the past 15 years. And, you know, and maybe a situation where a family moves down to Nashville and gets a record deal and then gets all the success out of it, that seems to be a little less common, or not common, or like possible.
I mean, but at the same point too, like it's hard to say that that's an impossibility, because you also have, you know, you have stories of maybe not in the country world, but you have stories of people like Shawn Mendes, right? Who is like, you know, he wasn't down here, wasn't anywhere grinding away. He was making YouTube videos, and then all of a sudden, Shawn Mendes was Shawn Mendes, the recording artist, making hits within a year. You know?
Yeah.
So, I mean, I guess it does still kind of happen. But I mean, I think the idea of somebody coming down, not playing shows, not grinding in Nashville, and then getting signed.
You there?
Oh, I'm here. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think you went through a bad cell area. It's just tough to. We should explain that you're in your car on your way home from Nashville. So.
I'm in a car. I'm not driving though. So.
Who's where are you right now?
I am actually just outside of Dayton, Ohio. I'm in between Dayton and Toledo.
Oh, okay. All right. So you've been driving for a while then.
Yeah, about 6 hours. I think it was about 6 hours ago we left Nashville.
Are you going to drop by for coffee on your way home?
Drop by in Uxbridge for a coffee?
Yeah.
Well, I'm actually taking the Via Rail from Toronto home. So I'll wave.
Well, I want to talk about the tour, and we talked a little bit about it, but how it all came together, and we know about that, but it's just the three of you, right? There's no band?
Nope, just the three of us. It's straight up acoustic show, two guitars and three voices.
It's amazing. Is there anybody else coming out with you? Like any family members?
No, it's just the three of us are going out. It's going to be I say it's quick. I mean, I don't think it's going to feel quick for our, you know, my family being at home and Amanda's family being at home, but I believe we're only gone for 9 days.
Okay. That's long enough.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely long enough for me to be away from, you know, my wife and kids. Being away from them for, you know, 5 days this week is not good for my emotional state.
No, I was, you know, we should talk about that, because I've been in the same thing, like on tour for, you know, a month. I've been on tour for with a child at home, and it's very and this is pre like Skype and FaceTime, and you know, it's become a little easier now. But it still doesn't help the problem, you know, or solve that situation where my daughter's on the other end going, when are you coming home? You know, and it's like, it's heartbreaking, man. Like,
yeah. I mean, it's thank goodness for things like FaceTime and where you can actually see the people and have a conversation with them, and it feels a little less disconnected. I think the fact that being on the road and being able to actually pick up the phone and look at your family is much better than just talking over the phone. It doesn't help things, you know, when you're away and there might be crises at home that you're not there for.
Yeah.
But my Aaron is very supportive of what I do, and I don't think I'd ever be able to even consider doing it if she wasn't.
Absolutely. Yeah.
It is. I think you know as much as I do that it's a tough thing. It's a tough business to be in if you don't have the support of the people who love you.
Absolutely. You know, the tricky part is, you know, the thing though is always comes back to is that these people sign this sort of like invisible contract with you, the musician who travels, and it's and sometimes it works, and it's all really like a shot in the dark, you know, even though you have a lot of great connections and you have great songwriting ability, it's still basically a shot in the dark into, you know, major success, you know, and it's a...
Oh, absolutely. I mean, the state of the music industry in Nashville is, you know, it's chaos for some people and it's beautiful for some people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some people are going like, yeah, I'm loving it right now. Like I'm writing songs and getting cuts and all these people. And then there's other people who are just like, I'm literally turning out some of the best music I've ever made in my life and not getting a sniff from anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a strange industry and you're right. I feel like when I go down there, like the only thing I can really do is just try and write the best songs possible and that maybe have just something magic that's different than anybody else's stuff.
Yeah.
A little bit of a different melody, maybe a twist on a lyric, something that's not right down the middle that nobody's ever heard before or that everybody's heard before, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I was just talking to, I've done 3 podcasts. You're the 3rd one today. But I was just talking to a friend of mine, Andrew, that talked about music and literacy. Is that you can be literate, but music and literacy, like where the music you write needs to resonate. You might know the words, you might know the letters and how to write the alphabet, but it's what you put into those words and those music that makes people resonate to it and people reflect to it. And there's no... people have tried to create like a formula to say, well, this is the type of song that people are into. So I'm going to write 5 of them that sound like that. And maybe one of them like playing the odds. But I truly think, you know, and I think you're in the same category. You have think the same way that honesty is a very strong tool when it comes to writing music, that if people can resonate to it and understand its simplicity or as well as its complexity, that's what makes a good song to me.
I think when you're writing a song, you also need to sometimes just let the song guide you,
mm-hmm.
right? And don't let the song be what the song is supposed to be. And sometimes that, you know, we as songwriters trying to be artistic or trying to be, you know, clever, sometimes a certain song is meant to be clever. So yes, you have to dig deeper. You have to think harder about the lyrics. You have to make sure that you're not mailing anything in. There's other songs where you're like, you know what? This just song is just, it's just not meant to have, you know, metaphoric lyrics in it. It's just meant to be straightforward and easy to listen to. And that's beauty of music. I mean, like, and especially songwriting, you have to sometimes just let the song be what it is.
Mm-hmm.
We wrote a pretty straight down the middle country song, and I couldn't imagine us this week trying to make any of the verses be like poetic. It just wasn't that song.
Right. Were the lyrics like "you're a cold glass of water"? Is any of that stuff in there?
No, we didn't get any of that. I think there's references to drinks, but there's no reference to actually like
how cold it was
specifically, beer specifically.
Okay. Cause, is there anything about like, you're like church on Sunday?
Nope. Oh. None of that.
Still, listen, no. Obviously no. Not a single then. Obviously.
Hey. We have faith. It's going to be a single. But there's no mention of beer specifically.
That should be a new song. Beer specific song. You're like a lager.
This is my beer specific song.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you think of that? I could go down and write some songs.
Well, you know what? We should get together and we'll just make sure
it's beer specific.
We'll write something that beer specific and it might go on the next Wheeler Walker record.
He put a new record out. Have you heard it yet?
I have not dove into it yet. Still trying to digest his older stuff.
It's the best. I play that to people. I sometimes play it to people when they have no expectations of what they're listening to. And then they'll be like, what? What did you just say there? And it's so hilarious because it's almost like they're just like, I had no idea that music like this existed. That's my country. It's not your granddaddy's country.
Yeah. Yeah. It's definitely not right taking the kids to school music.
No. I almost, because Everett, my son, he's into hip hop now. So I think I might break out the Wheel of Walker and say, that hip hop ain't nothing, man. Listen to this stuff. This is the real dope shit right here.
Listen to it all. Oh, wow. The only thing you can hope for in hip hop is that maybe they might be saying things a little bit too fast that he might not understand it. Oh. Wheeler Walker is very, very nice and slow, and yeah. You get every lyric available.
It's clean enough, yeah. Well, there's one song he talks about, this in the hip hop song, he talks about Percocet. I'm like, that's no hip hop rhyme. I don't get that's not my hip hop.
No.
No, not really.
They've graduated to the heavier stuff.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's funny because he's up there right now, like playing all this crazy hip hop, and I'm like, I thought you used to like Green Day. What happened to you? You've changed.
Hey, you can't control what your kids listen to. I'm sure I listen to a lot of stuff that my dad's like, "What the heck is that?"
Yeah, I'm in that boat right now. Well, I'm gonna let you drive on, so you'll be home what, in the morning, and you'll be taking the train home in the morning. Is that feels like that's gonna be some.
Yes. Early morning, and then I'm going to see Big Rex with my wife tomorrow night.
Oh, say hi to Brian Doherty for me.
Yeah.
Are you going to see them, like hang out with them, or?
I don't know them to hang out with them, but I will be there in my rain poncho because it's supposed to rain, singing the oath at the top of my lungs.
Well, if you see Brian, Brian was on the show.
That was a pun intended moment.
There you
go.
I got you. Singing at the top of your lungs. And then somebody went, meow.
Yeah, I was singing at the top.
Big Rec are awesome.
Then I might say, I really love this song.
I love
and my
this
wife
song.
Will look at me say, she says, I love this tune.
I love this. No, wait. Oh, wait. No, I love this tune.
Yeah, she'll say, I love this tune.
Oh, that record's awesome, actually. That record is fantastic. And, oh my God. Okay. Well, safe drive. And you know, good luck on the tour. I wish I was coming out with you.
Thank you very much.
I wish I was coming. But
I know.
Next time.
We need to make that happen next time.
You let me know because I miss you guys this year. I miss you guys.
Oh. We miss you. I really miss Tone as well.
Oh, he's around. He's around.
Yeah, he's just hanging around. Well, we'll have to go out for some beer sometime and catch up.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll make my way to Uxbridge.
Do it. I got the studio here. We'll make a song. Song about eating pussy
like
and kicking ass.
Plan.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, man. Okay, I love you. Talk to you later.
I love you too, man. Good chatting with you.
Tyler Wilkinson, everybody. That was a fun little short conversation with my friend Tyler Wilkinson of The Wilkinsons, also of Small Town Pistol, also accredited songwriter who was just in Nashville. Thanks to everybody for listening to this show. Thank you to Bose All Natural for their beer and their sponsorship and their help. Thank you to all you patrons at Patreon. If you want to be a patron, go to patreon.com/apolog. Thanks for shopping on Amazon by going to apolog.ca/Amazon. Bookmark that link. Be redirected to Amazon. Shop with fun. Have fun. It's fun shopping there. Okay. Next week. Actually, I was supposed to all have best ofs, but I managed to crack out three awesome podcasts recordings. And next week is going to be Dr. Oren Amate, who is a clinical psychologist as well as a family expert. Okay, so we'll see you all next week. Have a great one. And that still is the sound of the ocean, by the way. Say hi, Everett. There he is. Have a good weekend, everybody. We'll see you later.